In order to show support, we'll need the help of some great advertisers. And in order to find great advertisers, we need to learn a little more about you. So please help us out. Go to podsurvey.com/fantasy and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little better. That way, we can show advertisers just how great our listeners are. Plus, once you've completed the survey, you can choose to enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/fantasy. Thanks for your help. What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Graham, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and our man, Graham Barfield. And I don't know. I usually have some clever way to start the show, but I don't have anything today.
You usually do a great job ending the show.
I do.
It's like one of my favorite things.
Thanks.
Reading your show notes every week. your one-liner, and it always draws a chuckle out of me. Even though you don't audibly hear it on the show, because I kind of screw up our recording, but...
But I appreciate that.
I mean, at least you end the show nicely.
Right. You know, I have to figure out something clever to start the show with, but I've worked on the end of the show, so that's good. That's good. I was always bad at titles and stuff when I wrote stories. So there you go. It's combine week though. We have made it to. So is this the official start of draft season, or does that happen like with the Senior Bowl Shrine Games?
I think probably with Senior Bowl.
It depends on how big of a degenerate you are.
Yeah, exactly. This is true. Because right after the Super Bowl, you start seeing like crazy mock drafts.
Yeah.
So,
which, speaking of, degenerates and right after the Super Bowl, have MFLs opened yet? I know they usually open like right after the Super Bowl, but I haven't.
I know Draft has for best ball, but okay. I'm not entirely sure if MFL. They've rebranded it now.
Oh,
it's now under Fan Bowl.
Okay.
So best, shout out to Scott Fish.
But best ball drafts have begun.
Honestly, MFL.
In the past, I know they have started right after Super Bowl. And a couple years ago, I think I drafted a couple of teams right after the Super Bowl. And then I got to August, and I'm like, these teams are trash.
that is degenerate right there, man. Like,
it was pretty good, actually, a couple years ago. I think MFL did this, where if you drafted a team in February and you had like a couple players on your team just die,
mm-hmm,
as a course of the NFL offseason roll.
It happens. Right.
They actually credited your account. That's pretty cool. But yes, it does look like
2019 leagues are open.
Yeah, Best Ball 10. So they rebranded it from MFL 10s to Best Ball 10s. And I got to admit, the investment with Fan Bowl looks pretty good. Again, shout out to Scott Fish.
Shout out to Scott Fish. The Scott Fish Bowl has become one of the bigger events on the fantasy sports calendar every year. So look forward to that again. Of course, Scott does a great job. Has won all sorts of awards just for his community service as well. He's one of the good people out there doing fantasy sports. Behind the glass, it is not our normal producer. Senior Edward L. Murphy Esquire is on his way to Indianapolis. We will be joining him later on this week. In fact, just a heads up, we will have a couple of extra pods for you this week. We're going to do one on Friday and one on Saturday from Indianapolis, just kind of keeping up with what's going on at the Combine, and we'll talk about that plenty on the show today. But sitting in behind the glass is Ryan Bartlett. Bartlett, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Honored to be filling the seat of Edward Murphy.
I know.
It's great to be a part of this. I've been a fan from afar all season long, and it's cool to get in here.
Very cool. You are one of our resident Chiefs fans, so
not talk about it.
All right, well, that's the answer to my question. I was going to ask if you have gotten past it, but apparently not. We will talk about the Combine at length. And then, there are always guys that go to the Combine who never quite make it. We're going to talk about some of our favorite athletes who we thought would make it, but never really did. But in the meantime, let's do some news.
Let's hear the news.
Because we have to, Steelers news. They won't tag Le'Veon Bell. They say Antonio Brown trade must benefit the team. I don't know.
That's all you need to know.
I mean,
all
right. Yep. Like, obvious. They're not going to trade him to the Patriots. They're not going to trade him. I would be surprised if they traded him inside the conference.
Mm. Yeah.
Get him out of their hair.
They could trade him to Baltimore if they don't throw the ball.
It's true. Hey, they do need a replacement for Michael Crabtree. I suggest that the Ravens are going to sign or draft like four or five tight ends, forget about the wide receiver position, and just run it 60 times a game.
I mean, yeah. whatever. They're not going to tag Bell, so he's a free agent. We've kind of talked about where we'd like to see him go. They're going to trade Antonio Brown wherever they can maximize whatever. So maybe it's the 49ers.
You're doing the dance of joy right now if Juju Smith-Schuster is on your dynasty roster.
Except, are you?
I think you are.
I mean, maybe.
I think you are.
I'm not. I mean, look, I love Juju. I do. I love him. I'm not sold that he's the same level of productive without Antonio Brown there.
And that's coming from a USC.
I said I love him. I think he's outstanding, but I do think having AB helps it.
The volume will be insane if AB. Yes. If AB's truly gone, I think that's the biggest thing. Is yeah, sure, the efficiency and some of the deeper stuff might not be there, but I mean, he's going to see like 180 targets just because they'll have to.
You don't believe in James Washington.
All their best players are now gone.
You don't believe in James Washington.
I mean, no disrespect to Juju, but yeah. James Washington ain't AB, man.
There you go. Sorry, that's enough Steeler talk. But Fabs, you mentioned it. The Ravens released Michael Crabtree. John Brown is a free agent. Willie Snead was MIA for much of the season last year. So you know, they have this offense that they want to build around Lamar Jackson, but they don't have anybody for Lamar Jackson to throw it to. I mean, is he just going to throw dump offs to Alex Collins?
That's a good question. I mean,
Buck Allen, what are they going to do?
Well, first of all, sign Mark Ingram and just go all in on the run. Just do that, right? I mean, unless you want to throw the ball 100 times a season to Chris Moore, I mean, like, this is what the Ravens, their whole offense, what they've done in the offseason, it's gearing towards an offense that's going to be very fun to watch if you like the ground and pound.
Fabs, this is now the third straight offseason Baltimore has led the NFL in available targets. Every single offseason.
Right? I know.
Every single offseason, we're talking about, oh, my God, Baltimore has to replace 350 targets.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it again. Yep. Again, I think it's 330 this year. Well, I guess I did just spoil it.
You did.
Baltimore.
Right on top of it. Yep. Yeah.
That's wow.
I'm very interested to see what this offense is going to be with Lamar Jackson. It's going to be a lot of running the football, but they have no playmakers in the passing game. Like, none. Okay, sorry, Willie Snead, but
but you're right. I mean, look, Willie Snead had that one decent year in New Orleans, and you know, but
Willie Snead caught four balls for 40 yards in every game, basically, this year, and that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Guys, if you listen right now, the current receivers on the Ravens roster are Willie Snead, Chris Moore, Quincy Adebayo.
Adebayo?
That's it. Jordan Lastly and Jahleel Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Wow.
How many of those guys are you drafting on your fantasy team?
I mean, Mark Andrews and, I mean, Hunter.
Hayden Hurst.
Wow.
I like,
just,
see?
Call him Hunter Henry.
Well,
Hunter Henry Hayden
you can
Hurst.
Get, you
know,
can get caught up in, like, the Hunter Hurst Helmsley.
I'm all screwed
Hunter
up.
Hunter Henry.
H's. All the Triple H's in the
yeah,
right now.
It's all good.
Yeah, I mean.
It's all good.
It's not a good group. And, yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson, obviously his ability to run will keep his fantasy value semi-afloat. But if there's nobody for him to throw the ball to, even that has a ceiling on it for him next year. So, good luck, Ravens. I expect they're going to be busy. Here's the thing. There aren't going to be a lot of great free agent wide receivers out there. There's nobody that you can bring in as a free agent that's like, hey, this is going to be the guy. There may be a collection of like number twos, but there are no number one receivers.
Of course, in this receiver class, for what it's worth, I mean, I don't think it's not lacking in depth, but it's definitely lacking in a top-end, clear-cut receiver option, unless you really believe DK Metcalf is like,
well,
next
see,
coming Calvin Johnson.
You see that photo of DK Metcalf?
I mean,
where he looked like, you know, like the Incredible Hulk?
I mean, he's just he looks like a specimen.
But, yeah, so I'm looking at the free agent wide receivers. I mean, Golden Tate,
yeah.
Robbie Anderson, Larry Fitzgerald re-signed, so he's not out.
Isn't
there.
Amendola a free agent?
He might be.
Go get him.
You know, Des Bryant is still out there, guys.
Randall Cobb, Demaryius Thomas coming off of injury, Pierre Garçon.
Outside of John Brown, it's really just a bunch of slot guys.
Golden
just,
Tate, yeah.
I mean, Golden Tate's awesome, but, I mean, he's still getting
yep.
better.
I mean, and he never fit in Philadelphia. I don't know that he makes a huge impact if he were to land somewhere like Baltimore. So
There is a former top 10 overall pick out there. Kevin White.
Oh.
No. We'll talk about a guy that I held on to him on my dynasty roster for a couple years, hoping that it would happen, and it's not going to happen.
No.
It's just not going to happen.
Nope.
One wide receiver who is not a free agent and probably isn't going anywhere anytime soon, is Adam Thielen. His agent says he is not the type to hold out for a new deal, So I guess that's just one worry off our mind, right? Like Adam Thielen's going to be back, and he's going to be absorbing, you know, 150, 160 targets, and all will be right with the world, right?
Well, he should. I mean, Rick Spielman got him on a nothing deal. He's on a four-year deal worth less than $20 million, and you could make the argument that Thielen was the best receiver in the NFL for the first 8 weeks of the season last year.
He was.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody should hold out at this point, it should be him. But that's great to hear. I mean, at least we don't have to worry about it, I guess.
Right. I mean, yeah, look, it's obviously everybody knows the story. He went to a small school in Minnesota. He's staying home and playing for the Vikings. So I would imagine he seems like the kind who would give them the hometown discount.
In his first eight games, he averaged 9 catches, 115 yards, and scored 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
How old do you think he is? I want you guys to guess.
Adam Thielen is, I'm going to say, 27.
Yeah, so I was thinking like 25, 26.
He's 28.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he's a late bloomer, man.
Wow.
I didn't realize it either. I just said that because
he was also he had been in the league for a couple of years before he finally blew up. Yeah. So, but hey, well, good for him. There was some kicker news. Actually, there is kicker news. Cody Parkey expected to be out in Chicago. There was some thought that maybe Robbie Gould would leave the 49ers and go back to Chicago to take over Parkey's spot, but the Niners said no, sir. They have franchise tagged Robbie Gould. So they're going to hold on to their kicker, and hey, why not? The guy's been great for a long time, but that means the Bears are still on the lookout for a kicker. Meanwhile, Chris Boswell, who had a shaky year for the Steelers, is going to have to compete for their job this offseason. So, hey, we got kicker news. I really don't know what to make of it other than, hey, we got to wait and see what happens, but kickers, man.
Boswell's like always ranked among the top 5 or 10 kickers and has rarely actually met expectations.
But I think it's because the Steelers score so much that everybody figures, oh, he's going to get chances.
Yep. No, right, exactly. But I mean, he hadn't been accurate. And there was talk around the league this past season when he was missing kicks that he was going to be on the street. And I'm not surprised about this.
Yeah, like the kicker version of the yips, it looked like, at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But Robbie Gould, man, he does not have the yips. He is solid.
He is solid.
He is solid.
Yep, and he's also a fantasy football fan.
Is he?
Yes.
It's good. All right. Mm-hmm. I always like hearing that.
Yeah.
Are the Steelers like the worst good team ever?
They're so bad at being good.
they win kind of like in spite of themselves, right? Like, you know, they have unhappy stars. They have a kicker that can't, you know, succeed. Their quarterback runs his mouth on radio all the time. And yet somehow they're always in the race for the playoffs. They really are like the worst good team ever.
There's some moves that this team can make, and there's some money that this team can spend because they have it. And, of course, I'm, you know, talking about potentially trading for Mr. Big Chest. He goes to San Francisco, and you've got McKinnon coming back off the knee. Who knows what he's going to be? You could end up seeing a committee there with Matt Breida. Two guys who aren't exactly very durable, but in good spots to succeed in Shanahan's offense. You put AB into that mix. And you've got Marquise Goodwin there. You've got Dante Pettis, who at this point is probably one of those deep sleeper types, depending on what the Niners do. Garoppolo's coming back from the knee. There's some potential there.
Mr. Big Chest. I think I'm going to call him Milk Mustache until he decides to get rid of that thing. I think that's a better nickname.
You're still so tilted about that.
It's just awful. It's awful.
It really is bad.
It's awful. I'm going to just call him Milk Mustache until he changes it. So there you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
Well, that was the news.
Hey, so you might have heard the Combine is getting going this week in Indianapolis, the yearly, the job interview, if you will, for prospective NFL players. And, you know, I know that there are mixed feelings. People have mixed feelings about the Combine and what this means fantasy-wise, whether or not, you know, it's something that you should put a lot of stock into. And, you know, we can go on and on about that. But, Graham, you've done a lot of work around this, especially, you know, I know you've done your yards created thing, your metric there. And you've actually taken a look at what drills translate potentially to success at the next level. So for the folks out there who are just sort of, you know, getting into this thing and kind of wanting to know more, which things should people be paying attention to in the next few days?
So I'm with you about the kind of philosophical debate if the combine matters. I am of the mind that I think it certainly matters. I just don't think it's a common sense question to think that athleticism doesn't matter in athletics. I think standardized the combine, if nothing else, has given us kind of the standardized test for athleticism. And in the NFL, I think that has given us kind of a barometer of how to treat different players. But for skill positions and scoring fantasy points, the thing we all care about, the combine is very, very, very noisy.
Right.
And especially so for receivers. I'm certainly not the first or the smartest to do any sort of analysis on this, but I just look at it from a holistic fantasy point perspective. Like, who earns attempts, who earns targets based on the combine? And pretty much for receivers, nothing matters. I have not found any signal. I know there have been other sharp analysts that have pointed to the same thing and found similar findings. There's just not much for receivers that really matter. But for running backs and tight end, the combine really does matter. And it's kind of the things that you would think would matter for running backs. It's really just weight, 40 time, and three cone are the three predictors of future success and future opportunity. And for tight ends, it's more of a holistic view. And I think it makes more sense as tight end is, I think, the hardest position to learn outside of quarterback right. In the NFL.
Yeah, well, I think that goes a long way toward explaining why it takes tight ends usually a couple of years to develop from a fantasy perspective, especially.
Well, think about it. I mean, they've got to learn blocking. I mean, they've got to learn different ways to line up in terms of their technique for based on the blocking scheme, but then they've got to learn the playbook. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, I think athleticism for tight ends, it's really multiple drills that matter there, but it's really the burst drills and the 40 times that matter. But for receivers, I think, are by far the most interesting discussion here from a philosophical discussion, or excuse me, a philosophical standpoint. Because, I mean, I guess for receivers, it really does just come down to, like, what did they do in their final few years? And, like, Matt Harmon's reception perception metrics have kind of shown this too, but, like, it really does come down to just, production and route running. Mm-hmm. In terms of their combine drills. And I think final point I'll make too about combine drills and kind of how athleticism matters too is I think as a whole, I think two people get caught up on one or two data points like mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook's bad 40 time or Dalvin Cook's bad three cone drill and kind of blow it up to this thing it's not meant to be. I think if anything, just take the combine for what it is, man. Like, it's fun. It's dudes running out around in shorts and not really doing anything football-related.
Like, from like a fantasy perspective, like,
you can't blow it out of proportion.
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes it's fun to watch, with the
Babs, be honest,
kids.
It is not fun to watch.
Sometimes
on
it's
TV.
Fun to watch.
Come on.
With the 40 times, that kind of thing, like, I enjoy that.
The 40 is fun.
The 40 is great, and
they
make it entertaining.
Rich Eisen runs the 40, and that's always fun to watch him do it. He does it for St. Jude, so that's tremendous. But to me, and maybe this is just because I'm like old school, I don't really see a lot of value in the combine when it comes from fantasy football. And a lot of the younger guys coming out now, like Graham yourself, Mike Clay, guys like that. And there's so many talented guys analysts right now. There's almost a crossover from like they're fantasy analysts, but they're almost
draft Twitter and fantasy Twitter are very intertwined.
I see where it's interesting to have some conversations about it, but there have been so many combine stars who went on to the NFL and sucked. I want to know where a guy's going. I want to know what he did in college. I want to know what the competition was when he played in college, and then I'm going to make my assessment. If a guy ran fast like John Ross, I couldn't care less. Darius Hayward Bay, couldn't care less.
Here's the flip side. George Kittle was put on my radar solely because of the combine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a fifth-round pick, right?
You see Tom Brady run at the combine?
Did he run? He did run, didn't he?
It was running, I guess, kind of. But, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who didn't look like an NFL player at the combine. Look at Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be
greatest
taken.
Quarterback of all time.
I do think there are some things to be taken away from it because I do think, like Graham said,
there are guys, sure.
Right, and I think the trick is to not, like you said, Graham, not to get too much
it's
caught
a part
up in it.
Of the process.
Right.
It's a part of the process. Right. Mm-hmm. Whatever percentage you want to put on it, if it's 50%, if it's 1%, I think just ignoring the combine is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
But yes.
I certainly wouldn't be ignoring it, but I also wouldn't put a whole ton of stock into what the results are because just because a guy might just looked tremendous at the combine doesn't guarantee that he's going to be tremendous when he gets into real game action at the NFL level.
For what it's worth, I've made major mistakes with the combine in the past before. Like Calvin Ridley last year, I was a little bit lower on him because he had such a terrible combine. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of, because he had such a shockingly bad combine, I kind of.
You know what? A great combine? Troy Williamson.
I kind of forgot that he was like.
Well,
one of the best route runners coming out of college last year.
I will say that the combination.
It's funny what you can.
I mean, if we want to just talk specifically, yeah, Calvin Ridley was a guy because of the fact that he had a poor combine, and going back and even watching a little bit of his games at Alabama, he had poor quarterback play too that year, and I looked at him, and I'm like, I don't know. I just, and I was not all that high on him. And obviously he had a great rookie year in Atlanta, but it wasn't, I didn't see it coming necessarily because of, again, the poor combine, the bad quarterback play. It just seemed to kind of hold him down a little bit.
You remember one of the greatest combine performers was Matt Jones.
Oh, Matt Jones.
Remember Matt Jones?
Yeah.
Matt Jones was the man without a position.
Arkansas quarterback mm-hmm. who became a tight end.
And a wide receiver and really didn't do – I think he had
some off-field stuff that washed him out of the league.
Maybe he had like one season with 700 or 800 yards, and that was about it.
Yeah, so. he was like just as athletic as Calvin Johnson, which is kind of crazy to think mm-hmm. about it once you adjust for his height.
What I'm going to do and what all of you out there listening should do is – because I'm not going to be there. I had prior commitment. Listen to Marcus. Listen to Graham. Listen to what they say.
Buy us lunch if you
read
like.
Read what they write because that is going to be the information that you're going to need.
Or beer.
I'm going to be doing the same
or
thing.
Beer, even
beer,
better.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take beers. But, yeah, we'll be out in Indianapolis. We get in on Thursday. We'll be there through the weekend. So, it should be fun. But in the meantime, let's at least talk about some of the guys that are going to be there that we should be keeping an eye on. I just did this. I did the top three at quarterback, running back, wide receiver based on Bucky Brooks's positional rankings. Now, if there's another guy that you guys want to talk about, we can certainly throw him in there. Quarterback, the top three, Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, Drew Lock. Now, the question remains, will any of these guys end up throwing? That's always a big question, is whether or not these guys throw at the combine.
I thought Haskins was expected to throw.
I believe so.
I don't know that he's going to.
Sort of undecided, but I don't know.
It's right. One of those things where, like, what do they gain? Like, they don't gain anything from doing it, and there's a ton of attention and cameras
well,
on them. And
really, I mean, it can only be bad.
It can only be bad.
I mean, there's just really not much they can gain from throwing mm-hmm. at the combine.
And Haskins is projected to be the first quarterback to come off the board. A lot of people have him go into the New York football Giants there. And he was ridiculous last season. 70% completions, over 4,300 passing yards, 50 touchdowns and 8 picks. Not a guy who runs with the ball very much at 1.4, which is totally different than Kyler Murray,
who runs a
numbers,
ton.
runs a ton. So from a fantasy perspective, Murray probably is going to be the more attractive guy, at least in terms of immediate gratification statistically. But Haskins is likely to be the first quarterback to come off the board.
Which, you talk about him being projected to the Giants, right? And, I mean, I guess it fits, but he is obviously going to have to sit because they still have this Eli Manning infatuation there. Mm. So he's going to be behind, which I don't – look, I know there's another eternal debate about whether or not guys should play right away or sit.
Yep.
I feel like it's never a bad thing to just kind of watch somebody else do things and kind of figure it out before you jump in. Drew Lock is not a name we've talked about a ton, that we've heard a lot about, but this was a guy who, during his time in Missouri, threw the ball a ton. Last year – not as great, just 28 touchdowns. He had 44 the year before that as a junior. But this is a guy who can stand back there. 6'4", 225, kind of a big guy. More of your prototypical sort of quarterback that I'm surprised hasn't gotten more attention. And maybe he will as we go through this process because I feel like so far, Haskins and Murray have kind of sucked all the oxygen out of the room.
I think that's what it is. It's just the media and the headlines have kind of captivated around Murray just because he is, such a weird, rare prospect where he had to literally choose another professional sport over another.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Murray's kind of gotten all the headlines. I'm really excited to see if Murray runs.
Yep.
Is he supposed to run?
I believe he's going to run.
This is always kind of one of those mishmash things. It's kind of weird and murky. Like, when no one ever knows until, like, the couple days before.
Another thing to keep an eye on with Murray is hand.
Hand size Twitter, stand up. This is your time. This
yep.
is your time
yep.
of year.
There's been a lot of talk about not only, his height or lack thereof, and for the short people out there, I hope he goes out there and gets, but there's also talk about, his hands not being very big. So that'll be another interesting note that comes from the combine. And you mentioned Drew Lock. So I don't know if this is good or bad, but apparently John Elway loves him. And John Elway has not been the best in terms of...
I swear to God. John,
sorry, Drew.
John Elway.
Assessing quarterback talent as an executive.
John Elway must go to the combine, right? He must just take out this tape measure out of his pocket. And as long as you're over 6'4", you're good.
You're good.
You're good.
What's
you're
all, you know,
I'm just kidding.
It's funny because it's like the joke was always whoever had the best 40 time at the combine was going to be drafted by the Raiders.
Yeah, so now, Darius Heyward Bay.
Now the new joke has got to be if you're a quarterback and you're 6'4 or taller, you're probably going to be looked at by John Elway. So
yeah. But I mean they've got what, the 10th overall pick. So I mean they could be in the mix there. We'll
see. Lock will be available there.
Yeah, right.
I do think though that we'll see Murray and Haskins for sure. Like once all this dust settles and the combine settles, whatever.
Right.
We'll see Murray and Haskins go top 10.
But I am curious to see what other quarterbacks can sort of make a name for themselves. If it's Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, Will Greer, who got a lot of hype at West Virginia. So I'm curious to see if those guys, maybe somebody else jumps out over the next few days in Indianapolis. Running back.
Oh, now we're talking, Marcus.
All right, here you go.
Now we're talking.
So Josh Jacobs, who was the headline name, now has a groin injury, so he's not going to be a full participant. So I don't expect we're going to see him run.
I can't hear groin injury without thinking of Cheers. Ryan, you know, remember Sam Malone? See, millennials, go out to Netflix and watch Cheers. It's literally one of the three or four best shows of all time. And Sam Malone, who tried to become a sportscaster after his days of being a bad pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, was doing analysis and singing, groin injury, I don't know, every time Bill Sedell, remember Bill Sedell?
Our
pal who used to do stats for us research, back in the day, right? Now he's in Philly. Dude, every time we hear that, I know I'm going off the rails. Every time we hear that, I think of Sam Malone. And that episode of Cheers, it was phenomenal. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mark.
No, I was going to say, well, he's probably not going to run.
Yeah.
He's
got a groin injury.
He's not. He's going to be a limited participant here. I still think he is the first running back off the board. I don't know that necessarily changes.
It's such an interesting equation right now because, Josh Jacobs only has 300 touches, and now we're going to go off a limited combine sample. Mm-hmm. 300 career touches for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I mean, he split carries this past season with Damian Harris there, so.
And Tua, basically.
It has just become, right now, an Alabama running back, it really is a revolving door, right? I mean, we've gone through many of these guys.
Trent Richardson, Derrick Henry, Kenyon Drake.
Mark Ingram, Kenyon Drake. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just gone through so many of these guys. And so it looks like Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris are the next two up. Devin Singletary is another name to keep an eye on. Bryce Love, who I think had he not suffered an injury during the season, might have been a little bit higher on this list. And I think, you talk about a guy who comes in maybe with a little something to prove at the combine. A guy like Bryce Love, I don't know how much he's going to participate or what have you, but he's a guy who could potentially help himself out. So I think he's one to kind of keep an eye on.
And one thing we're looking at, a lot of these kids that are coming out of college are those they're very three-dimensional. They can run with it, they can catch with it, and they can pass block. And catching the football now is more important than it's ever been from a fantasy perspective at the running back position. So Josh Jacobs had 20 catches, again, limited time this past season because he split touches with Damian Harris. Devin Singletary didn't catch a lot of passes last season. He's got 51 total in 3 years at Florida Atlantic. And he's a guy who's also reportedly a very willing pass protector. Maybe needs to improve in that. But he's a guy that I think people, if he ends up in the right spot, and that's what we always talk about. Like, you remember a few seasons ago, it didn't really work out, but Bishop Sankey ended up going to Titans. That was a perfect situation for a running back to go out and thrive. He didn't do it, obviously, but that's what we're all looking at. We're looking at running backs who are going to land in situations where they're going to have the opportunity to be the guy right away. I always go back to Steven Jackson. In his first season with the St. Louis Rams, Marshall Faulk was still there. Didn't really start putting up his big numbers until season two. So as important as the combine can be to running backs from an NFL perspective, really – what we want to know is, where are these guys going to land and what the competition is going to be on the teams that they're going to be drafted on.
Hey, so. Bishop Sankey's now on the San Diego fleet. So
is that where he is now?
Yes.
And you know what? I don't even – Graham, I don't even think he is – I don't think he's rostered in my fantasy football league.
I don't think he plays.
So, no, I don't think he plays. And, you know, Hackenberg got benched for Mettenberger.
RIP. Wow, so Hackenberg got benched for
– Hackenberg for Mettenberger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
By the way, Trent Richardson is killing it for my fantasy football team. In AAF.
Other interesting note. I don't know how much we'll talk about him, but Evander Holyfield's kid is going to be at the combine.
Is that right? I'm really, really excited.
Running back from Georgia, Elijah Holyfield, who actually had a pretty good year, was over 1,000 yards. You know, he took over after Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb left.
I think he'll end up being he'll be a sleeper, I think, for a lot of people coming into this. And I think he's going to blow up the combine because he's a freak.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely athletic. I mean, you know, it obviously runs in the family, the athleticism. But Elijah Holyfield.
Actually ran into Evander once in Atlanta. He still looks like he could kick somebody's ass.
That sounds like it must have hurt.
Yeah. He looks like he could still.
I remember watching some of those fights of him and Tyson biting his ear, and they had some battles back
in the day. I remember where I was the night I heard about the Tyson bite.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of crazy. Wide receivers. And, Graham, you alluded to it. There isn't necessarily one huge standout star at wide receiver, but a lot of guys who can come in and be contributors right away. Top of the list, since we spent all these weeks talking about Antonio Brown, his cousin, Marquise Hollywood Brown from University of Oklahoma, is Bucky Brooks' number one wide receiver. I was joking with some friends that it's going to be really awkward when Antonio Brown forces his way out of Pittsburgh and the Steelers turn around and draft his cousin to replace him at the wide receiver position.
He's not participating at the combine, right? Because he's coming off a Lisfranc injury.
He had surgery
in January.
Yeah, he's got a Lisfranc injury, and that's obviously huge for an explosive player like him. Brown needs his speed to get deep, and I guess now we're kind of in limbo. We got to hope that
the comparisons I've seen have been DeSean Jackson. He's a DeSean Jackson type who has speed and can take the top off of defense.
Not a huge guy.
Yeah, he's 5'10".
He's not – yeah, but obviously the contested catch thing will be a big problem for him in the NFL, but he's lightning fast.
DK Metcalf, another guy who's gotten some attention, mostly because
he's
of the
– fast as all heck.
But also the photo that surfaced of him and a bunch of other receivers working out, a bunch of guys, you know, obviously no shirts showing off what, you know – But man, I mean, literally, he looked like a He-Man action figure. He looked insane.
I always think of David Boston when I think of wide receivers who are like all jacked to heck. Remember David Boston?
Oh yeah, I remember that. With
David Boston had a couple of good seasons in the NFL, but then I mean, he just bulked up like He-Man.
He had a little bit of the special sauce. Mm-hmm. He was drinking that Space Jam special sauce.
So Daniel Jeremiah suggests that Metcalf has a similar build playing style to Josh Gordon. And Josh Gordon, we all know.
I've seen that. I've seen that comment.
Besides the off the field stuff, super ridiculously talented
his
guy.
His athleticism.
He's DJ's 11th overall player for the 2019 draft class. So.
And the third guy is N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, who is physically maybe one of the imposing wide receivers. 6'4", about 215. I mean, he's got that kind of big, tall, strong build that scouts literally just drool over. So had an outstanding season in the Pac-12 for what that's worth.
He's like a raw prospect who's got a lot to prove, though. I mean, like, maybe comparable to, like, remember Dorial Green Beckham? Like, dude had all the size in the world and all the talent in the world, but
I
had a lot to prove, and he never panned out.
Yeah, I would hope he's better than GB.
You would think. I'm talking about a big dude with a lot of upside.
There's a lot of upside, a lot of ability. The Sun Devils used him in any number of different ways.
This receiver class is really fun. I've been kind of surprised to see people down on it a little bit. Like, we just have barely scratched the surface here, but there's a lot of really different types of players here that do a lot of different things. There's kind of a different flavor for any type of receiver you want in this class. I think it's a good one.
I think that's the big takeaway early is that whatever you're looking for at wide receiver,
It's there.
You will find it somewhere in this class. So that's that's something to keep an eye on. So we'll be out there. We'll be taking a look at these guys. We will hopefully talk to some scouts. Maybe get you know, our friend Bucky Brooks. I think our pals Matt Money Smith and Maurice Jones Drew will be there. Maybe we can get their take on some of these things. So we'll be hanging in and around Indianapolis, trying not to freeze. I was looking at the weather reports and. Not excited.
I meant to text you about that over the weekend. I was like, dude, you're gonna be freezing.
Not excited. So
there's small chances of snow, so I don't think we'll see much snow, but it will be cold.
Get some of those hand warmers, Marcus.
Yeah, I think I saw the high for any given day we were there was maybe like 38. No. Oh wait, no, it'll be 43.
Oh man, break out the shorts.
So yeah, buddy. It's gonna be great. So that'll be a lot of fun. Before we wrap up. Of course, as we talk about the combine, there will be guys, as Fabs mentioned, that will have great combines that people will get excited about, and they may not do much in the league. So along that line, I really want to just for fun, talk about guys in any sport that you thought would be big time. Something happened maybe in their college careers or their rookie seasons that you thought, okay, this guy is going to be the next big thing. And then it just never, ever happened. So, I don't know, we go around horn. Graham, if you have a guy that you thought would be big that just never really caught on.
I think, man, I guess it really might be Matt Jones, though, because he really is a freak of an athlete. Like, it's funny you brought him up.
While you're wearing a Jaguars sweater.
I know, while I'm wearing a Jaguars
sweater. By the way.
Sweater. Yeah. Scott Barrett, shout out to Scott Barrett, Pro Football Focus. Yeah. Scott Barrett, he loves Matt Jones. He has like a weird obsession with him. But anyway, he really was like a athletic freak. And I am kind of surprised. Obviously, the cocaine and drinking probably doesn't help. But
no.
Yeah, he was an athletic freak. And it does kind of suck. We didn't get to see a full career out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fabs.
So I got a bunch like per sport, like okay. so like I start off with like basketball.
I mean, Bo Jackson's got to be up there too. That's the one.
Yeah,
but. Man, that hurts.
Yeah, but
I wanted to go chalk, but I didn't.
So for hoops, I was thinking Greg Oden, and then Kwame Brown, who was basically like he's the poster child for why Michael Jordan should make personnel moves, and that could certainly be the fate of John Elway if he picks another quarterback who busts in the NFL. Ryan Leaf, who, if you remember that draft, it was Peyton or Leaf.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One guy soared to heights, Super Bowl championships, going to the Hall of Fame, broke all kinds of records. Ryan Leaf just sucked. I mean, he was terrible.
He was great at Washington State, though.
Yeah, he was. Ridiculous. So we talked about Trent Richardson earlier. First season with the Browns, very productive. I thought when he went to the Colts, much like most analysts out there, that this was going to be a new triplets and he was going to put up big numbers, and then his career sort of tanked. But he's killing it for the Birmingham Iron right now. And on my fantasy team. Baseball, I'll always remember Brian Taylor because I'm a Yankees fan. Die hard, okay?
Brian with an E?
Yes. Brian Taylor was supposed to be like the next great
B-R-I-E-N.
Pitcher. At the time, the Yankees gave him all kinds of money to come and play for the team, and he just flamed out. I mean, never was a factor at all. And then, of course, because I'm me, and I love WWE, and Roman Reigns came back last night and told everyone that he was back from leukemia to remission. So God bless Joe and good luck. Lex Luger, who now if you look at him, you wouldn't even – yes. So Lex Luger was supposed to be the next Hulk Hogan, right? And WWE brought him in, and he was like a narcissist at one point, and that character kind of sucked. And then they really got all behind him, and he had like the whole USA thing and – he was, fighting Yokozuna and that kind of stuff, and they had him in a big giant – remember the big bus they had? Like the whole Luger bus? And Luger never really panned out in WWE despite the big push and despite all the talent that he had. So that's my list, and of course I had to get wrestling in there. So wrestling and a Yankee and a guy who played for the Cowboys, Ryan Leaf.
So it's pretty much
forget
right
that.
On, so it's pretty much on par.
Yeah, exactly.
You hit all the base.
I tell you one thing though. Ryan Leaf was part of a stretch, and I get crap all the time because I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Yankee fan. I don't care. It's America. I can do what the hell I want. But the Cowboys had a stretch where the quarterbacks were awful. Like, we had Drew Henson, who also played for the Yankees and sucked. We had Chad Hutchinson, Quincy Carter, Ryan Leaf. So don't give me that Cowboys fans don't suffer, because trust me, we've been suffering plenty over the last 25 years.
I think the best thing I ever heard about Quincy Carter in the NFL was that somebody's like, he couldn't drive a Toyota 80 yards, let alone.
Well, you know what? Bill Parcells got him 10 wins 1 year. But, I mean, he was second-round pick.
So I had a couple. One, the first – when I thought about this, the first guy that came to mind – and this goes back to my childhood. There was a guy at UNLV playing basketball named Anderson Hunt.
I know
And
number 12, right? Wasn't
he
number 12?
And, like, when I was a kid, UNLV basketball was the greatest thing I had ever seen. Not just the greatest sport, like, literally the greatest thing. I mean, I was 11, 12 years old, and, you know – I had never seen a team, like especially a college team, turn off the lights and shoot fireworks when they introduced their starting five. And they had Tark as their coach, and he sat on the bench and he chewed a towel. And they had Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon. They had a guy named George Ackles who didn't block shots. He caught them. He literally caught. I watched him catch shots out of the air. And they had Anderson Hunt, who was just this wing player, who was an incredible three-point shooter, who I thought really was just poised to be huge at the next level, never made it to the NBA. And, like, nowadays in the NBA where everybody shoots, like, you know, 50 threes a game, like, he might have had a spot in the league nowadays. Never made it in the NBA, and that was the thing that always just kind of blew me away, because I thought for all the talent they had on those teams, I thought he would be one of the guys to make it there, and he never really did.
Those were fun. Larry Johnson, yeah. Those were fun teams to watch, man. The Duke at UNLV rivalry.
Yeah, those are so great. The other guy that I had in mind who had a decent career but not what I thought it would be, Rocco Baldelli, who is now the he's now the manager of the Minnesota Twins. This was a guy some of you guys know, I spent a couple of years calling minor league baseball games on the radio, and I saw Rocco Baldelli play in single A ball in Bakersfield for half a season, and he destroyed that league. In fact, he was on the same team with Josh Hamilton, who at the time everybody knew Josh Hamilton was going to be a star. He was, you know, supposed to be the big huge thing. Rocco Baldelli was better than him. And I watched him play, and I'm like, this guy is going to destroy Major League Baseball. And he came up, and I don't think he was Rookie of the Year, but he was close in the voting. And then injuries just kind of took a toll, and he was just never the same guy. But Rocco Baldelli was such a beast.
I took an interest in him because, number one, he's a Paisan. He's Italian. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people compared him. Like, they said that he was the next Joe DiMaggio.
He was going to be the next Joe D. A tall, thin guy with power, with speed, mm-hmm. could play great D. I mean, he literally was a five-tool player, and just a slew of injuries just kind of robbed him of any of his real potential. And now he's the Minnesota Twins manager. So
Bartley, you want to get in?
Yeah, you got anything?
Yeah, I got a couple that stood out to me. One being Peter Warwick.
This
guy was a two-time All-American, the Sugar Bowl MVP, set the school record at Florida State with 32 touchdowns, which, looking at the talent, says a lot. And then he was the fourth overall pick going to the Bengals, and that was the last we heard of him. He was a guy that stood out to me. Also, there's Tim Couch, Tommy Frazier.
Good old number 15 from Nebraska, right?
The legendary plays. He had Charlie Ward. We kind of know he won every award possible, and then was a first-round pick for the Knicks.
Never played in the NFL.
Yeah, it's funny because while he was playing – I remember the joke was while he was playing point guard for the Knicks, people said he was still the best quarterback in New York.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Is Charlie Ward really a bust, though? Because, I mean, he did go on to play – I mean, he played multiple sports at the highest, like, possible.
That's a good question. I would say an NFL. Maybe a football bust.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because he just never,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, he was in the backcourt with Allen Houston and, what, Chris Childs for years
Allen
there.
Allen Houston.
A solid backcourt. Couple other guys to throw out there. Rocket Ismail.
Oh, man.
Then we switched to a local guy for me. Not too many people know, but he was a UCLA product. Jerron Rush in basketball.
I remember Jerron Rush.
I grew up.
Jerron and Kareem Rush. They were brothers there at UCLA.
Kareem went to Missouri.
That's right. He did go to Missouri.
And then they had a younger brother, Brandon, who won a title at Kansas. Mm-hmm. So the whole – but Jerron growing up used to go against his AAU team. The guy was unbelievable, dunking in eighth grade. I mean, it was wild. And then – the final guy to throw out, this is for, you know, my soccer fans. We haven't brought him up yet, but how about America's greatest player of all time,
Freddie Adu.
I knew
you guys said that simultaneously. It's so good.
I just knew where you were going with that.
Man, what did happen to Freddie Adu?
He bounced around Europe for a little bit, played in some of the lower leagues, right?
But you mean he didn't go on to become the greatest United States player of all time.
No, but I do remember the hype with Freddie Adu.
I remember that too, man. I have not thought
like
about that.
14 years old.
Yeah, he was really young, right? Yeah.
He was going to make soccer the number one sport in America all by himself. Yeah. Is what was going to happen.
How did that go?
Not so well. Not so well. So hopefully that doesn't befall any of the guys that we see coming up this week at the Combine, although, you know, history says
it's inevitable.
Unfortunately will. So that'll be interesting to watch. But that's it. We are done. We are out. We appreciate you downloading and listening. As always, tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, except for bears. We'll see you on Friday.